This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep, even me. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, our backs are destroyed by dreams.
Aww. What it means to go all gray.
Farts get people in trouble in a high school.
Phone separation anxiety is a real thing, and it makes you stupid.
Let's talk about them globs.
Taken 3 has taken the box office again.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Okay, Atari, let's see your best pitch.
The Atari video computer system is 20 cartridges with 1,300 game variations you play on your own TV set.
You can't keep me in here, Atari.
Play it.
His name was Julio Iglesias.
Sit down and listen, punk. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, January 12th, 2015. You know, I haven't had any trouble saying 2015. I feel pretty good about my luck so far.
Rolled right off the tongue.
Yeah. I expected to have trouble with that because last year I said 2013 for a long time. And I don't know. It's just, it's not a problem this year. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, 2014 sucked.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it was fine. But in a lot of ways, it sucked. It wasn't a great year for video games, although Blizzard did really well on all fronts. But the rest of the industry kind of sucked. There were a lot of bad things that happened. The internet got real dickish in 2015.
Yep.
That happened. Still happening, but, you know, whatever. That's when it really took a crescendo moment there. That was the year my guts decided to be stupid. We had a great Nerdtacular. I guess that counts for something.
Mm-hmm. That's a big plus.
I saw blood vomit in Vegas.
That was a good year-end capper, too.
Right, really.
That and heroin junkie man.
Yeah, heroin junkie man.
Junkie in the box.
Hey, we should have coined that by now. That's brilliant. Junkie in the box. Jay in the box. Well, anyway, we're here to bring you some content in 2015, continued 2015. It's the 12th, which means we're almost halfway through the first month of the year, which just boggles my mind that we've come this far this quickly. Brian, I have a story to tell you about why I seem to, and the chat room may not, well, nobody may notice this unless they've heard, and you're not going to hear it in my voice, but I'm standing a little, I'm sitting a little stiffly. And I am sitting, because standing just kills me today. Because I threw my back out. You want to hear how, Brian?
I want to hear how you threw your back out, Scott.
Okay, because I can tell you it hurts like hell, and it's killing me, and 2 nights of basically no sleep as a result, and lots of hot baths and cold ice and just things like that. And it's a little better today, but it's not that much better. And here's what happened. This is why this sucks. Now, I wish I could say to you people, I was going in for the game-winning layup and hurt my back.
Kim's prized possession, an heirloom vase that she just loves, was about to fall off the mantle, and you dove and caught it at the right before it hit the ground and shattered into a million pieces.
Sacrificed myself to protect her heirloom. No, I wish I could say that was
pushing an old lady out of the way of an oncoming semi.
Nope. No, last time I tried that, I accidentally pushed her into it, so I can't. I'm not even allowed to do that anymore. Yeah,
that's kind of one of the risks.
I even wish I could tell you it was something even dumb like, oh, shovel in the snow again, or something like that. Because I've only ever had 2 times where my back went quote unquote out, and it was once while shoveling snow. That was like 2 years ago, and before that, never in my life, never a back problem my entire life. And then this time, which is a whole different part of my back, so it's not even re-injuring the same thing. It's like up high and in my neck. I don't even have a heroic story like I'm trying to clear the driveway of snow and debris. Here's how it went. I'm asleep on a, what was that, Saturday night. Okay, had a great weekend so far. Friday after Current Geek, I went to a neighborhood party thing. We had a ball over there and hung out and played this weird hybrid Pictionary / charades game called Actionary, which was Brad, and it was totally fun. Everybody had a great time, and ate a lot of food and just good times, right?
Had fun. Wicked?
It was wicked fun. It's also rad. I can't stop saying rad.
Yeah, no.
Good throwback, though. So anyway, we have all that fun. We come home, and then Saturday, plenty to do Saturday. Lots to get to and work on, and we did all that. And this entire time, by the way, we're house-sitting a dog and babysitting a kid from the same family. Kim's sister's out of town with her husband, and we've got a kid and a dog. And the little dog's name is Zeke, and he is a little tiny little thing. He only grows as big as a freaking normal puppy. So that's why I can't remember it's a Maltese. A Maltese dog, whatever that is. Okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen those.
Little furry little shithead. Yeah. And he's fine. He's a cute, cute little guy. He's cute. We're watching him, and he woke up this morning at 3 a.m. And pooped and barfed all over his kennel for some reason. We don't know why. So that was fun because Kim had to deal with it because I couldn't move because I was too in pain to even like roll off the freaking bed. So anyway, back to the point how this all happened. Saturday. Go to sleep. Decent time of night even. Thinking, yeah, I'm going to get ahead of this a little bit. Going to wake up Sunday refreshed, get some stuff done. 3 o'clock in the morning, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, I'm having a dream. And here's the worst part is I don't remember the dream at all. I wish I could tell you were in it, but I can't because I don't remember. It's one of those dreams.
My head in a wheelchair or
yeah, remember like that? Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
Those were the heady days.
Heady days, yeah. The bald heady days. I don't remember this dream. This is one of those dreams that seemed real vivid at the time, but I don't remember it now. But I do remember this. It startling me so bad toward the crescendo of the dream that I woke up in such a way and was laying in such a manner that by waking up and physically jerking the way I jerked, I don't know which direction it was, but I jerked kind of my head and neck went away that my body was not prepared to cash that check.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard the sound go like that. And at three in the morning, I go, like this, like that. And my poor wife's like, and she's trying to get over a cold, you know, and she's kind of tired and she's rolling. It's like, what's the matter? And I'm like, I don't know what happened. And I couldn't, like, for a minute there, I was so overwhelmed by still sort of halfway in the dream. Now into I've jerked awake and nearly broken my spine in half. And that is not a heroic tale. Nobody wants to hear this tale of how Scott hurt his back because it's wimpy and lame. Oh, you woke up from a dream and jerked kind of hard?
Right.
Ooh, you lame-o.
I know. It's the most innocuous thing, sadly, that seem to cause the worst problems,
yes,
right?
Yes, I hate it. So here I sit just in utter, like, I'm okay if I hold still. Right, if I'm just looking straight ahead here, I'm good. But if I turn this head, if I turn to the left, it hurts so bad.
Oh, jeez.
It hurts so bad to do that. And then the other way. So I got a bottle of this roll-on BioFreeze cold therapy pain relief. This
stuff sounds totally 100% effective.
It really is, actually. It's like Ben Gay in a bottle, except it doesn't smell like Ben Gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's super hot and you can feel it kind of burning, but it does take away. I mean, I'm convinced that these things don't help the pain. Well, they help the pain, but they're not actually doing anything to the pain. They're distracting you from the pain because you've just put on a layer of space age hot wax or whatever the hell this is. And I think that's why this stuff works. Anyway, bottom line is lots of that. Hot baths, cold ice. I can't take ibuprofen, doctor's orders. So I have to take Tylenol, which, by the way, Tylenol is for wimps and wussies. That stuff is garbage. It doesn't do anything.
It really is, yeah.
What is the point of that? And it was like, maximum strength. Okay, great. I'll take two of you then. What happened next? Nothing. I don't feel anything from your damn... I never have. Tylenol sucks. The most powerful Tylenol ever was is when it was poison and it killed a couple of people in the 80s. That's the most powerful it ever was. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. They've had to, well, plus we've also developed kind of a tolerance to it probably, right?
Have we? I don't know. I barely use this stuff. I feel like I've used it maybe.
No, but you've used stuff similar. I mean, I think as a society, we've probably developed a tolerance to Tylenol, and that's why it seems so ineffective.
Maybe it's also that ibuprofen is so much better at its job that Tylenol can't hold up.
And it's like, wow, this stuff works, and that stuff's crap.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Until I get my scope, doctors fear that I've got ulcers. And if I have ulcers, ibuprofen goes in there and like murders those. Mm-hmm. So I can't take those. So I'm just stuck. I'm stuck rolling on this BS and complaining to my wife and starting a lot of hot baths. That's my life. Ugh. All right. Anyway, hopefully it goes away. Everything will be fine. I wish I could remember the dream. Then it might be worth it. What if that dream was like I invented something amazing and if I just carried it into reality, I could have been a millionaire
right,
or something.
Right, and now you've forgotten it and the only price you've paid for all that knowledge is a pain in the back. Yeah. You can't,
I feel like a bad sitcom, like something George Costanza would do when he turned too hard. I hate it. Anyway, this neoproxen sodium thing. Yeah, no, I know, but that's the same problem, Cleo. What do you call it? You either kill your liver with Tylenol and that kind of medication,
right,
or you take the naproxen or the ibuprofen. Both of those kill your colon potentially if you're having issues. So if I had liver issues, they'd say, oh no, don't take Tylenol. That's bad.
Right.
But if you got the other thing, which they, you know, I don't even know what that is yet. They say, don't take the other. So there is no other thing. That's all there is. There's hardcore narcotics. I could go out and talk to that guy in the bathroom at the Jack in Box again.
There you go. What do you got for me?
What do you got for me, buddy? And he'd just say, because that's all he said last time. All right, Brian.
He was that guy from the Plants vs. Zombies game, right?
Oh,
yeah,
that guy.
Sells stuff out of his trunk.
Yeah. I love that guy. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. All right. I got to tell you real quick here. My wife, in the midst of all of this, it's a little stressful around here. We got an extra kid. His grades suck. She had to go to the school and help talk to the teacher. And
cousin Oliver?
He's our nephew. Yeah. And I really like him, but he's hurting in school. And so as a result, it just happened to be a week where he's got like go time on a bunch of stuff. And if he doesn't turn a bunch of stuff in, he's not going to pass the seventh grade or something. Anyway, it's a bunch of stuff. And Nick went through this too. It's like we're sort of used to it. But Kim's having to shoulder all of this because my shoulder doesn't work properly, so I can't shoulder any of it. Anyway, so she's been a little worn down, and as a result has decided to start at the beginning and consume the entire Grey's Anatomy 10-year run.
Wow.
Yeah. And here's what I learned watching that show. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some medical professionals will agree with me. Grey's Anatomy, more than ER or any of these other dumb shows about doctors, right? They are magical people because somehow the same doctors work the ER, the neonatal unit, the neurological unit, the surgical unit of all sorts and types, the ICU. They're everywhere. Yeah, they're omniscient interns that somehow know everything about all things. And they get the most creative cases. These people came in with a giant rod through their chest, and it's between both of them. One's a young white girl. The other one's an old construction worker black guy. And they're going to find common ground while they're stuck together by this giant thing. And you know what?
Well, we can all learn something from the Impale twins.
That's right. One of them's going to die. Which one will it be? I don't know, but there'll be some nice Tegan and Sarah music at the end to remind us how things are supposed to go. So it's fine. You know what? Grey's Anatomy, as these things go, it's fine. It's actually pretty good. You're invested in the characters. You want to see how things go. Even the even the rom-com stuff is fine. It's fine. But
McDreamy.
But I can't help but feel that doctors cannot roll their eyes hard enough or far enough when they watch this show. More than maybe anything else. And I'm sure it's like you and I watching The Net. When we have some savvy about the internet, we watch The Net and go, what the fishy hell is this? Right?
Right. Well, I'm sure if there was some show about podcasting, and I'm sure somebody's going to say, what about iCarly? But if there was some show about podcasting, you know, that we would be like, oh, they've completely simplified that. What about Audacity? Huh? What about that?
Yeah, what about Audacity? Yeah, exactly.
Wiretap anywhere.
Occasionally a movie or a TV show will get some stuff right, but I feel like if you have any knowledge of what they're doing, it's going to go south real fast. Like I finally started watching. I didn't quite finish it because I was so tired last night, but I was in bed. I couldn't raid with you guys, you bastards. So it's not your fault, it's mine. But I couldn't raid, I couldn't move, so I'm watching movies in bed in my iPad while she's watching that. And I started watching Bernie for the first time. And Bernie's awesome.
Is that the Jack Black movie?
Yeah, the Richard Linklater
deal. He was talking about that on the Globs last night.
Oh, was he? Okay. That's a hell of a thing. That's an awesome movie. If you haven't seen that, you should see that. It's really funny and dark and funny and then dark again and then sad and then really well performed. Like, Jack Black is a freaking revelation in this thing. It's really good. And all based on a true story. And that true story has gone kind of weird since. Like, it's a really weird thing. And I'm really enjoying it. And I'm about done with it. But I was so tired. I had to stop early. But here's my point. What was my point? I had a point. My point was, oh, Scott, you've forgotten your point. Was something about, because when people get things wrong. So that story is set in 1996. Okay. That's the original. That's the thing it's based on. It's a true story. Yet Jack Black is using an iPhone from 2007 in 2011 when the movie was made. So he's using an iPhone constantly in this thing while everyone else is using 1996 sort of brick looking phones.
Oh, really? So it's not just that everybody's...
No, just him. I'm trying to think if there's... Is there symbology to this? Is it some kind of weird fever dream?
Is it
just
a goof?
Did they say, it's set in... Or it happened in 96, but we'll just set it current day? Like, I don't know. I can't figure out what's going on there. Anybody want to cue me in? Let me know. Finally, we put up a new film sack yesterday, and I'm real proud of that episode. I think it went really well. So people should listen.
It was a lot of fun,
yeah, it was great. It had things in it like... Here, I'll give you an example.
These are nice people.
Okay, and...
Stop it.
Okay, how about...
Don't you knock?
Lots of things like that. So go listen.
It's got your Ed Harris, your Buddy Busey.
Yeah, your Buddy Busey.
Buddy Busey.
Buddy Holly Busey. Yeah.
Buddy Holly Busey, yes.
And he was only in there for like 5 minutes, but he was wonderful in it.
Right.
We enjoyed that episode a lot. So people should check it out at filmsack.com.
You got your Hank Schrader.
Yeah, your Hank Schrader, who got hobbled again. Actually got hobbled twice, I guess.
I can't catch a break.
That poor guy. But yeah, me, Brian, and Randy having a ball. So please go check that out. Okay, now it's time for me to turn. Okay. And then Daryl. Okay, hold on.
Oh, man.
Okay. Oh, there we go. That wasn't too bad. I can do that. I got this. I got this, everybody. I got this. It is Stump a Trek Nerd and is brought to you by
the indie band Sean Sleeps Naked. You can help fund their next album simply by streaming them on Spotify or just go to SeanSleepsNaked.com for all your Louisville music needs.
That sounds good.
Louisville.
Louisville. Way to go. You did that good. You could have said Louisville like an idiot.
Louisville.
But you didn't.
There's a town up the road from me about 5 miles called Louisville.
Oh. Well, see, then it would be okay.
Spelled exactly the same way.
If you said Louisville there, they'd burn you as a witch.
Louisville.
Daryl Skeels is on the line from beautiful Seattle, Washington, where the Seahawks have yet again moved forward in their domination of this year's race to the Super Bowl. Congratulations, Daryl.
Got to credit the 12th man.
Yeah.
The screaming fans in the stands that can't let the teams hear what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they'll lose to Green Bay. I'm going to just put it out there now. They will lose to Green Bay. If they don't lose to Green Bay, listen, if they don't lose to Green Bay, I will back your damn Seahawks. But until then, Green Bay gets my vote.
Well, there should be some sort of wager involved, because I'm on the Green Bay wagon as well.
I didn't see how did Dallas win? What happened? They beat the Lions?
Dallas and the Lions.
Yeah, didn't Dallas play yesterday?
No, Broncos and Colts.
When did Dallas play? They play tonight.
And Green Bay and who did Green Bay play?
They played the not Panthers. Who'd they play?
I can't remember, but they beat them. Well, barely beat them, apparently.
Oh, here it is. Hold on. Yesterday.
Oh, it was Dallas.
Oh, it was yesterday. Dallas. Yeah, okay. Dallas and the Packers. And the Packers won.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the important bit. Screw the Dallas Cowboys is what I meant to say. And all hail Green Bay. Why did I have that confused with the Panthers? I guess I'm thinking of the Panthers and Seattle. And Seattle beat the Panthers. All right. Doesn't matter. This isn't football time. This isn't football time. This is Daryl time. Daryl time. Tell us about your life. What's going on with you? How are you? What's going on? What season are we in with Breaking Bad? Just to do a little check in there.
Oh, we're in number 4 now. It's kind of in the middle of season 4.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And, whoa. Geez. Really? You've sped right along then.
Here. Oh, yeah.
You're way faster with that than I have been with Arrow.
Yeah. Let's get a little song here. A little theme music. All right. That's the periodic table of floating around. Anyway, 4 is a special season. That is an amazing run. And I don't know how you feel about it so far, but I ended up coming out of four going, this may be my favorite show of all time. I loved season four.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Four is kind of, I don't know, to me it's kind of dragging a little bit.
Is
I
it
loved
really?
One and, I loved one and two because it was just one thing after another, mm-hmm. the going into stupid situations where the poop's going to hit the fan in every show.
Yeah.
And then three turned dark. Yeah. But it was still good.
Yeah.
And four is, well, it's still good, but it's just taking longer to get things done.
Well, do you have Mike Ehrmantraut in this season?
Yeah. The lab. Four spends a lot of time in the lab.
Oh, four has the fly episode, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That everyone hates. I actually like, but a lot of people hate that
episode. Oh, I thought that was cool, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people, it is considered the worst of all the episodes ever. I don't agree. Although I can't think of a bad one, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Their worst is still some of the best TV on TV. But you got a lot of what's his name in this one. Oh man, I'm thinking of four. Four is amazing. You got all that flashback stuff to when he was in Mexico trying to get his chicken joint off the ground, and then
Gus, yeah, right,
yeah, the whole Gus Fring thing and his buddy. Oh, that stuff is great. By the end of the season, I promise you, you're going to think four might be the best thing ever made.
Yeah, and okay. Boy, talk about and a great final episode too.
The ending is nothing like you've ever seen, I think. Seminal moment on television.
Yes.
There's no semen involved. All right, moving on. Oh. Moving back. Let's get back to it. This is our ending theme for our segment today. All right, there you go. That's the end of the Breaking Bad talk. All right, Daryl, let's get to your trivia question about Star Trek. That's what you do. You come on the show and you answer Star Trek trivia, and today is no exception. What episode? Oh, first, wait, a mashup. Sorry. I'll bet this has fart and ball jokes in it. Let's play that.
Azurera Azurera is the player's name. Ozuwera, Ozuwera, Ozuwera.
Oh no, the flag, the giant flag has been stolen! Ah! No!
It is really, really warm in here. Let me take my clothes off.
3 degrees, big bonier.
Jollier.
Big boner. What? Big boner.
Really, really.
My bag smells a little poopy.
And it's all sticky.
Go smoke crack. All right, there you go. That was a mashup. That was something right there.
Wow.
That was the thing. All right, what episode did this original series clip come from? Here you go.
Hyper acceleration is the key. I have counted only five of them aboard, but they have taken over the ship, and we are under their control due to...
Okay.
Which episode of TJ Hooker is that taken from?
Yeah. All of them is the answer. All right. Here are your possible answers. A, The Way to Eden. B, Dagger of the Mind. C, By Any Other Name. Or D, Wink of an Eye. That's my new book about rectal care. Oh, that's terrible. What did I say that for on the air? I don't even know why.
I don't know.
Daryl, let's think about that real hard, okay? While you think about it, there's a little bit of something here for you. Hold on. Here you go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
If I were to pick... Hold on.
Everybody gets something.
Give me a minute. Okay. I'm going to recommend... Whew, that hurt. Either the Poppin' Corn New York or one of these corn-flavored candy deals or watermelon or any of these are fine. You guys pick. Brian, you vote.
Let's do the giant inflato bag of Popcorn New York.
Okay, Popcorn New York. It's got apparently it's got sour cream and onion, like all things in New York have.
Oh, and there's a woman on the back who fancies herself to be the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, look at that. Oh, she's lovely.
Who's this one from?
This is still from Fantasy Coin.
Oh.
This is the hyper-inflated bags we've been enjoying.
I know. This is like...
I mean, look at that thing. I seriously, if I get in a car accident, I want a car full of these when I crash.
The airbag did deploy.
Yeah, man. All right. Oh, this is... it says it's theater popcorn. It is whole grain, which means it should be better for you.
It's not Times Square popcorn.
I'm a big fan of popcorn as a regular snack, because it's inexpensive, very low calorie, depending on how, you know, what you cover it in. And
I'm still looking for my bag.
Good fiber. Oh, you can't find it? You can't find your sack?
There's so many of them.
I know. Daryl was born with five sacks. I'm just trying to help.
Five sacks.
Trying to help out our buddy Iceworm with some material. Yeah? You don't have it?
There you go. No, it's here. I just don't know where.
Maybe a coworker took it.
Hmm.
Have you ever had that? You ever had somebody take your food?
No.
I did back in the day.
Big Sharpie right on with a big Sharpie.
Yeah, it says don't eat this lasagna. It's mine. It's from yesterday.
Cheese rings, pop.
Oh gosh.
Things, big corn thing.
Big corn thing. Huh. Big corn thing.
Bottles of drinks.
This yeah, that's too much. That's the bag.
That's the wrong bag, isn't it?
Oh, it sounds right.
Oh, it is?
Well, I don't know.
Am I not digging? Oh, yeah, the New York thing. This was so inflated and big, I thought it was a whole separate bag.
Oh, no, it's a... All right, well, I'm going to open mine now.
Yeah, well, mine's already opened. I've actually transferred it to a vessel.
You got like a bowl kind of thing?
I do. Yeah, I keep a bowl down here for like snacks.
You're so organized.
No, I'm really not.
You kind of are, though. Like, I watch you over there. You, like, lean back, put a disc in a drive, move the other way, push a button on a thing. Like, you're Mr. Control Room. I like it. I like it. I want to be like you.
Ooh,
there's a lot of things going on. A lot of balls keeping in the air.
Yeah. Spinning those plates. All right, here we go.
This smells like it came out of a theater seat.
Mmm, it's good.
This is good. Sour cream and onion popcorn.
Barbecue and then this one, these have not let me down at all.
Oh, it tastes way better than it smells.
Yeah, this is really good. That nonchalant smirk on the fake Statue of Liberty lady tells me all I need to know. That this is good stuff. Mmm. Mmm. We'll just sit here and eat them all.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, I'll be eating that today. Daryl. Do we have any birthdays today to celebrate?
Ah, yes, we do.
Oh, great.
Speaking of popcorn and movies, you would go and see a movie and see Kirstie Alley in The Wrath of Khan. She played Savick, and she's 64 today.
64? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She had a good run on Cheers.
She, I love the work on Savick's Closet.
Mm-hmm. Savick's Closet was a heck of a thing.
It was a great spinoff.
What was that show she did called Fat Lady something? Like a Fat Lady deal?
Yeah.
Big Fat Lady was called, or...
I'm too fat.
Veronica's not. It wasn't that. It was a different movie or show. Hold on, we gotta look this up before the chat room gets to it. Okay, Kirstie Alley. She was in such films as Fat Actress. So it wasn't just called Fat Lady. Okay. Okay. Now I understand. That had Dan Cortez in it. Remember Dan Cortez?
He was like all MTV. You know, whatever MTV. Pumped or
yeah, what's and he then, up to? Let's see. Let's find out what he's up to. He was born in 67, a little older than us, by a few years there. Oh yeah, he had a run. He was doing all right.
Now he's refilling the shrimp tins at the Branson buffet.
Yep, he's in video shorts like Family Dinner, Soccer Mom, and Changing Seasons. All right, Dan Cortez. Good luck to you in your fine career. But that's not your birthday we're celebrating. It's Kirstie Alley. Congratulations to her. She had a hell of a Vulcan mind meld in that movie, didn't she? Because she was going all kinds of... Oh, no. I'm thinking of Sex and the City lady.
Right,
that got
you're
that.
Thinking
no.
of Samantha.
Mm-hmm. She went all
Kim
evil.
Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
In
Undiscovered Country. But wasn't she playing the same character or something? Or No, I have this all wrong. So two was Kirstie Alley. And then three... Right. They had another actress come in to play that character, right?
Right, and it wasn't Kim Cattrall, and Kim Cattrall was in a different one.
Mm, that's right.
Yeah.
Got it all worked out. All right, Daryl, let's get back to your question. The Way to Eden, Dagger of the Mind, by any other name, Wink of an Eye, one of those was that clip I played, which I'll play the rest of here shortly if you get it correct or wrong, either way.
Okay. I knew this pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It is Wink of an Eye.
Wink of an Eye. Well... I don't know, man. Only one way to know. That is to ask the judges while I eat popcorn. Judges, is that it?
Congratulations.
Oh.
You're a winner.
I see how it is. Daryl did it. He nailed it. It is Wink of an Eye. Kirk drinks coffee made with Sclogian water. This causes him to move so fast. I think he means but the Sclogians can see him. A red shirt also has the speed boost as well, but of course he dies because he's a red shirt. Here's your rest of your clip.
This acceleration. They are able to speed others up to their level, as they did Compton and me. Presumably this is enslavement. Those so treated exist at this accelerated.
That is quirky as hell.
My God, Star Trek could have been a 30-minute show with any other actor.
Yeah, the floor director is sitting there doing the stretch signal at him.
Yeah, that's terrible. All right, well, there you go. That's your deal, and you got it. You're still undefeated for the year.
Yeah. And I would like to also point out, you are totally defeated for the year.
Yeah.
All your
we are
not doing well.
Not one bright spot.
Yeah, not doing well, but we'll get there. Don't worry.
I think that'll change soon.
Okay, well, maybe today. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't we play one of those games now called what?
Star Trek Element or Breaking Bad Element.
Mm. Okay, here's your theme.
Treat the mouse button as if it were hot, sort of like the potato in the game Hot Potato.
Oh, the game. Hot Potato.
For a second there, I just thought you meant any potato.
Yeah, any warm potato. Anything warm to the touch. Daryl, go ahead. Give us your potato. I want to touch your potato that's warm to the touch. Go.
Samarium.
This is an herb again?
No, it's an element on Star Trek or in Breaking Bad.
Okay. Samarium?
Samarium.
So I'm trying to picture Walter yelling at Jesse in a trailer somewhere. About
no, maybe. If you use samarium, he won't go through the bathtub.
Mr. White, we're all out of it, bitch.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't either.
It's Trekkie sounding, but...
I mean, they were pretty factual on Breaking Bad as far as the elements that they were talking about. Like, I don't think there's anything that... it may not have given you the accurate recipe for making meth. Mm-hmm. Especially blue, 99.4% pure.
Right, but they always stay pretty true to the periodic right. table.
They
would
have invented. They didn't have to invent new elements on the periodic table.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not familiar with the samarium element, so I'm gonna go Star Trek.
I'm gonna agree with you. I was kind of big on the periodic table when I was a kid, and I don't remember this at all. So I think you're right. Let's say Star Trek, Daryl.
It's got a weight of 94. It's from the...
Well, it's got a...
Zert.
It's got an atomic number of 62, which is the number of episodes in Breaking Bad. And so it is from Breaking Bad.
Oh. What? Wait. It is from Breaking Bad?
Yes.
No! I was sure this one was right. Damn it. Him and his cat avatar. Oh. I can't take it seriously anymore. All right. What now?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh my gosh, it's the news. Let's get right into it. Seems like a long weekend, and there was some news. There were some things that came up.
Things happened.
Things happened in the news. Sadly, a bunch of terrible things happened last week. That Paris stuff was rough, and we're thinking about Patrick and our friends over in that area, where they're all feeling really, I don't know, they're feeling very 9/11 over there, and they should. That's how this stuff feels, you know? Mm-hmm. When attacks like this happen, and as a cartoonist with nowhere near the renown that some of these French cartoonists have, which is a long tradition in France, by the way, of satirical cartooning is a big deal over there.
I didn't realize how big a deal until last week. Like, yeah, you know, going back and reading some of the history about it, it's like, wow, it's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember growing up, people saying you should read Asterix, or you should read, you know, there were all these things in French that would, some of it was getting translated, and people were recommending it because. You know, France had, they just were so much more subversive and so much more out there, and they could just, they used cartooning as this really important sort of, not political tool, but a way of communicating big ideas, important ideas. And here in the States, although I think this has changed a lot in the last 15, 20 years, but, you know, kind of 80s and before, cartoons in the States were treated as kids' things. They were not taken seriously. And over there, adults, you know, like anime in Japan, they take it serious. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
It's an important thing.
It's a cool thing. So we're thinking about those guys. But I'm going to talk about something that's got nothing to do with that and is completely dumb in comparison. A fart accusation sparks a fight at the Staten Island High School. She who smelt it allegedly dealt a beating. says Huffington Post.
Jeez.
Way to pull that one right out. A 15-year-old boy at a high school in Staten Island, New York, received 8 stitches after a 17-year-old girl allegedly beat him with a metal stool.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's
intense.
That may be the punishment maybe does not fit the crime.
Yeah. Maybe put her on the ferry and take her straight to Rikers there over there.
Yeah.
The row between the students exploded Monday after the girl accused the boy of farting on her, New York Magazine's Daily Intelligencer reports. By the way, Carter is this age. I cannot imagine her
picking up a metal stool and beating some kid over the head.
I am so naive to that. That just seems crazy that a girl or a boy of that age would have any reason to do that at all.
So
over a fart.
Apparently the farting, you know, farting on somebody.
Yeah.
Has been the cause of a couple offenses, like this woman beating another kid with a metal stool. Mm-hmm. We had the story a while back of the guy who got stabbed because he farted on his girlfriend and she threw a knife at him and stabbed him in the stomach.
Well, I'm not.
Please, people, don't fart on other people.
Yeah, if there's a PSA in this. Hold on, I'm going to actually do this proper here. Let's see. You brought me to this.
Oh, maybe I should set it up. I should be, hi, I'm Dr. McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy. Farting on people may sound like fun, but it's a serious crime and can lead to injury and even death.
Okay, and that's
please,
it? Okay.
Don't fart on people.
I'm Dr. McDreamy.
I couldn't think of Patrick...
Dempsey.
Dempsey, yes.
That's right. I couldn't think of his first name. Together we made a whole man.
We're like the Voltron of trivia.
Totally. Oh, Voltron. I've been in the mood for Voltron lately. Been rumors afloat or around that Voltron is getting made into a big CGI movie.
Oh, really?
I would actually kind of be down with that if the right people are making it and have the right tone to it. If they're just trying to kid it up, then I'm maybe not
interested.
Michael Bay! Yeah, I don't want that. He should stay away.
Using recycled footage.
Well, and I hope it's all CGI, like all like Pixar type stuff and not live action Shia LaBeouf business.
You know, Big Hero 6 really showed us the way an all CGI superhero sci-fi fantasy movie could be done and not look cartoony, not look hokey.
Yep.
You know, that's Big Hero 6, I think, I would love to see like a Marvel Inhumans movie done with that
style.
Oh my
gosh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, they've shown they can take I think Inhumans is even kind of it's unknown. I mean, comic book lovers know it, but it's unknown enough that you could give it whatever treatment you wanted and probably get away with it.
Right.
And they did such a great job with Big Hero 6.
I mean, we are getting a real Inhumans movie, but...
Are we? Oh, that's right. That was part of their lineup.
It's on the 2018 or 2019 or something.
Well, I'm into that. iPhone separation anxiety in the news.
Okay.
I think this probably applies to you Android people too, but this is the title of the headline over at time.com. iPhone separation anxiety makes you dumber, says a new study. My phone's over there and I'm feeling real stupid right now. It's actually my pocket. See how dumb I am? iPhone lovers who don't have their phones performed poorly on cognitive tasks. Ever feel anxious when you're not around your phone or school, at work? Well, that separation anxiety may be impacting your cognitive abilities, according to a new recent study. Researchers discovered iPhone users solving a series of puzzles performed better when they had their iPhones with them. Just the mere fact that they're in their pocket, according to the University of Missouri.
Weird.
When deprived of their iPhones, the study participants experienced significant physical changes, elevated heart rate, blood pressure, and anxiety alongside poorer cognitive performance, which all of those other three things would contribute to as well.
I think that, you know, the study says nothing about the fact that the guy who took their phones as participating in the study looked like one of the valet parking guys from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
The mustache.
What country do you think this is?
I love those guys.
Yeah,
those
I do
guys
too.
Are the best.
Let me take your phone and let's see how you do with these puzzles.
Yeah, they never tell you that part. But I do find, I don't know if you can corroborate my experience or not, but I have found that if I don't have it with me, I do kind of kick into a special sort of, I need that right now, even though I may not.
Yeah.
And I've done this where... I think the other night it was the neighbors. We went over to the neighbors and had dinner and stuff, and I forgot my phone, left it at home. And I got over there and I instinctively just went from my pocket and realized no phone. And immediately your brain goes, did you drop it? Did you leave it in the car? Did it fall out and you didn't know? Is it under 2 feet of snow? You know, all the things that could have happened. And then your brain quickly goes, no, it's there. I know where I left it. In fact, it may even be charging. Oh, crap. I need it. But I really don't need it. But I think I need it. My whole family's over there with me. Everybody's there. Everybody I need to talk to.
Right. There's nothing. There's nobody you're going to need to call. There's no emergency situation you're going to need to have your phone for.
Yeah. I mean, you may want to text me and say, get in here. Pound fist is popping.
We're going to kill Pound fist.
Yeah. Which I missed by a second and a half today.
Oh, man.
So irritated. Yeah. I wanted that so bad. Don't feel bad while you're riding around on it that I took I camped that for 6 hours.
I certainly won't take screenshots of it and text them to you.
Yeah, don't do that. Or do that, I guess. But yeah, there is I do think I have occasionally had kind of an unreasonable effect of not having my phone with me. And I don't know why that is. There's nothing there unless I'm bored and want to play a game or something, what am I really doing? It's a weird security thing. We've talked about it with Wendy before and reliance on devices and
over-reliance. And it's funny, sometimes actually, because I keep my phone on vibrate a lot of the time, keep it in my front left pocket. And there'll be times that, you know, it's sitting over in the charger, it's sitting over on the desk, but I will get a vibrate, like phantom vibrate on my leg.
Ooh, weird.
Like, oh, I better, and then I reach for it, and it's like, oh, no, it didn't go off. It's sitting right there.
Oh, that's a weird feeling. I've had that too. I have never told anyone that publicly because I thought I was kind of a little nuts for feeling that, but apparently that's a thing.
I think we are. And we're feeling a little nuts. Yeah. Maybe not something we did want to admit, actually, now that I'm hearing it out loud.
Yeah. Now that you've said the words. Anyway, well, that's a thing. So that study's interesting because it looks like it's a well-done study. This isn't them just going, isn't it weird?
It makes you feel like we're heading down the Wall-E path, right? Of the big, fat people drinking their super big gulps in their floating chairs.
Well, here's what I wonder. I bet if you and I said...
Well, sound like Jeff Garland.
If you and I said, hey, next Saturday, Brian and Scott are doing an experiment. That entire day, we don't have our phones at all. Mm-hmm. They're literally turned off and put someplace. We have our wives policing it for us. We see if we can deal with it. You could pretty easily because you're that kind of guy where, like, if you're given that challenge, you go, all right, I can do that. And you'll just do it. I will kind of go bananas and start climbing the walls. So
what will Instagram do?
Yeah, without me checking it. Oh no! What ravioli did you have for lunch?
A video of Scott spinning around in his chair.
Hey, that's important stuff.
I did like that video actually.
It was pretty fun to do.
It's not as good as the collective soul bird.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. All right. That's that. That's the thing. HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's show. HelloFresh is amazing. And with their Refer a Friend programs, which you can learn about on the site, they will even help those of you who have already taken advantage of this 50% offer and are already returning customers to HelloFresh because there's still ways for you to save money, it turns out, just by getting your friends involved. Go to HelloFresh.com, pick a recipe, and go, that chef made that. I want that. And every week they're brand new. They'll send you the exact farm fresh ingredients. You make the meal. You're done. Morning Stream at checkout for 50% off for first time customers. It's an exclusive code here at the Morning Stream. That's Morning Stream for 50% off your first order at HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by.
Brought to you by the Golden Globes, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Benedict Cumberbatch, and more.
Hey, if those guys really want to sponsor, we're open to it. We're open to the idea. I forgot there was not one there, as usual.
It's all right. I like the on-the-cuff or off-the-cuff sponsorship.
You can be on-the-cuff, too, if you want. It's fine.
Sure.
On-off.
Off the fly.
You're like my dad all of a sudden. You could never get that stuff right.
Right.
All right, let's talk about them Globes.
Sure.
We got some winners here. A lot of things went down and happened. Your best movie there, your best motion picture drama went to Boyhood. Start with the big one there.
Mm-hmm. Should be out on video before the Oscars. I think that's going to be, that's almost a guaranteed contender for one of the nominees for best picture.
Yeah, I'll be a little shocked if it doesn't win. I've heard nothing but people talk about that. Mm-hmm. And it would seem a shame to have Linklater make a movie that took him 14 years to make and not give it to him.
Right.
That's an insane amount of work.
Who was it that pointed out, well, it didn't take him 14 years to make it. It took him 12 weeks. Just it was stretched stretched over 14 years.
But it's still a pretty amazing idea, and it's so well executed.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows if what's his bucket from Dead Poets Society was even going to live that long. You know, he could have had his big hooker moment or where he fell off a truck and died of heroin or whatever.
That's what you're worried about, right? So you got Ethan Hawke, but like it could have easily been Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know,
then you'd have to write him out. You'd have to write him out is what you do. You'd say, oh, he died in a thing.
Right.
Car thing.
I got halfway through the movie, he's been replaced by another actor.
That's a bad idea. Dick Sargent shows up. Or is it Dick York? I forget. I think it was Dick Sargent, wasn't he? The replacement?
Yeah, the Dick York, Dick Sargent crossover.
Yeah.
I can never remember who was first, but
speaking of that crossover thing, I put that on Twitter, a link to a wiki that shows the twin movies. So we're always talking about Armageddon and Deep Impact and that.
Yeah. I did a whole Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars round about that.
I'm going to
this last Nerdtacular.
Find it here. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. That was awesome.
And I probably stole a lot of them from a list very much like that on the internet.
Oh, here we go. So there's a ton of old ones I hadn't even heard of, but Olympus Has Fallen, White House Down are recent ones. A Hijacking and a Captain Phillips both came out right around the same time. Prestige.
I didn't even hear about a Hijacking.
I know. I don't remember that at all. The Prestige and The Illusionist is another good one. Capote and Infamous, both in the back, pretty much back to back, and they were both about Capote. Right. Let's see. Flight Plan and Red Eye. Were kind of the same movies. The Cave and The Descent were essentially the same in 2005.
Oh, I forgot about those two, too. Yeah.
Yep. Scary Movie and Shriek, If You Know What I Did Last Friday the 13th. They're both like...
Oh, parodies of the... Mm-hmm. Right. Parodies of the parody.
Except I had not heard of that other one. That second one.
That was the, like this by the same guys who brought you Don't Fight the Boys in the Hood on Next Friday. Some...
Yep. I can't remember that sounds about right. But 97, I mean, this is great. Let's say 95 through 99. That was a banner time for this because you had Braveheart and Rob Roy, Tombstone and Wyatt Earp. Well, that was a little earlier. But Dante's Peak and Volcano, Ants and a Bug's Life, Armageddon and Deep Impact, and Saving Private Ryan and Thin Red Line. I mean, that's just about as much as you get there.
Wow.
Iron Eagle and Top Gun in 86.
Oh yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And quite often, there is one winner and one loser.
Yeah, for sure. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. Best performance by an actress. That's he played
Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture was Julianne Moore for Still Alice. I hear that's really, really good.
Plays a woman with Alzheimer's.
Early onset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 50-year-old something.
Right.
I hear she's amazing. J.K. Simmons won for Whiplash. That's him beating and yelling at that drummer kid the whole movie.
Give me some pictures of that Spider-Man.
That one. Patricia Arquette for... and then he forced him to do terrible things in that prison cell. Wait, that's Oz. Right. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in motion picture, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. I like her. Can she read people's minds in there like she did on that...
on Medium?
Medium, yeah. Or whatever she did. I don't remember what
she did. Yeah, Tina got a little fed up with that show. We were watching it regularly, and so many episodes begin with her having some premonition and then waking up startling in bed.
No.
And then, like,
after a while.
Like somebody on this show at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, after a while, that starts to get a little.
And rogue. The husband just puts up with it.
Yeah.
The husband doesn't say, you know what, maybe it's time we just look at separate rooms.
Was that that guy from Wings? Is that who that was?
No. It was, God, what else was he on? We've seen him in other things, and I think we've seen him in some film sack shows, but...
let's see, Medium. Oh, Jake Weber. I think I may confuse him with Steven Weber because they look a lot alike. Oh,
his last name, sure.
He's a British guy.
Oh, yeah, you know who I couldn't believe was British, speaking of the Globes? Was Pensatucky from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah. British is all hell and back.
Yeah, no kidding. Hearing it. Oh, gosh, I just love this. All of a sudden, everybody's, you know, Adele. Yeah. Oh, this is such an honor. Thank you, Foreign Press, Hollywood.
When the sky falls.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I always like that. I'm always pleasantly surprised when I find out somebody's like that way. Like Michelle, yeah. What's her name in Treatment? She played Laura.
Melissa George.
Melissa George. I had no idea until she started talking.
Well, she had the accent when she was on Alias.
Oh, I forgot she was on Alias.
Yeah.
I forgot Alias.
She stole Michael Vartan for a little while away from Sidney Bristow.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
As she would do.
Yeah.
Richard Linklater won for Boyhood for Best Director. Grand Budapest Hotel won for Best Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical. Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture. We went to Michael Keaton in Birdman.
He was great. And great acceptance speech from him, too.
I missed that. I didn't see any of this business.
It wasn't.
I'm not usually into that part of it as much as I am. I just like who wins and loses and all that.
Sure. Well, there wasn't. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's like moments that you look back and say, "Oh, that was such a great Oscar moment or a great Golden Globes moment."
Yeah.
You had Jeremy Renner really awkwardly complimenting J Lo on her chest.
Ew. Weird.
Jeremy Renner. She was saying she was open. The two of them were presenting together. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah,
that's and, weird. And she says, "I'll open the envelope. I've got the nails." And he looks down at her chest and says, "You've got the globes too."
Whoa, really?
And the look, yeah, and the look on her face was like, "All right, I'll kind of do a little smirky chuckle thing here for."
You think it was written? You think he improv that?
Oh, he totally improvised it.
Dude, Jeremy.
There's
Renner.
No doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that he improvised.
What's
it.
What's Hawkeye doing?
I know.
You know the guy's got talent.
He's about to get punched in the Hawkeye.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Amy Adams for Big Eyes. The Affair won the Showtime show for a drama. I heard that's good. Best television series, comedy, or musical went to Transparent from Amazon.com.
Wow.
Which I hear is amazing. I haven't seen yet. But yeah, we're getting to the streaming time of streaming shows are dominating these awards.
Yeah.
Fargo for FX, they're there for the best miniseries of motion picture.
So good.
Let's see. There's that Maggie Gyllenhaal honorable woman deal, but I think her best work was in Nightcrawler this year. Yeah. It was really good.
That was coming.
And I thought her Prince of Persia
was
pretty.
She's Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. And her Prince of Persia was not bad. For a video game adaptation, she was all right in that.
Oh no!
The best.
By the way, they confirmed it's a hard G. No, it's a soft G. It's Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actor in a television series: Kevin Spacey of House of Cards from Netflix. Again, these sound crazy to say it. Mm-hmm. Best performance by an actor in a television series, comedy or musical: Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent. I heard that was a cool speech. I haven't heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Best Ruth Wilson for The Affair for the actress in a television series.
It's a Tucky.
Mm-hmm. That's her. Hello, I'm Ruth Wilson, and I play it. Redneck with bad teeth, yes.
And in this other show, I'm extremely hot and pull this married man away from his wife.
That's not. It says Ruth Wilson for The Affair.
Yeah, that's the TV show where she's pulling the married man away from his wife.
Oh, right. Okay. let's see. I'm going to skip ahead here to some other stuff here. We got some Downton Abbey wins, some more Fargo business. Billy Bob Thornton won for a miniseries actor deal. Did he accept? Was he there?
Yeah, he did, and he was pretty funny. I mean, he said came up on stage and said something like, "So you know, I realized I know too well in this business that you can get into a lot of trouble for things you say. Yeah. So I'm just gonna say thank you."
And that was it.
Walked off the stage.
Nice.
He hasn't had any sort of trouble with that recently, has he?
No, but back in the day when he was married to Angelina, there was lots of stuff.
Oh yeah, okay.
I think that's what he's talking about. He has a great story about having a crap on a bus that I heard once on a radio, some radio show.
Really?
Yeah. It's really funny. I like Billy Bob and his work. He seems like he might be kind of a dick in life, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? We don't know these people. They're just on the screen. We don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. People are saying that Ruth Wilson is not Pensatucky. Hold on a second. Am I getting
That's
Taryn
where I was
Manning?
Confused. That's why I was confused.
Am I getting Taryn Manning and... what's... Oh wow! No kidding. I thought these were the same people.
Same actress.
Same actress.
No.
This whole time.
See, that's what you do. You think all women look alike? You misogynist.
I do. You all look alike to me. You women.
Happy to see best animated feature film go to How to Train Your Dragon 2. That was a really good movie. I would have probably given it to. Actually, I'd probably give it to that. I really like that. Oh, no, you know what I would have given it to? I liked Box Trolls a hell of a lot, but I think How to Train Your Dragon 2 is pretty damn good. It was a good year for animation generally, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's more. You can go find it yourself at deadline.com. Bunch of lazy butts. I'm not going to read it all for you.
Yeah, go look it up yourself.
Finally, in the celebrity news, Taken 3 opened at the number one spot. Big shocker there. For the first weekend box office, it dominated its competitors by almost $30 million. The highly anticipated Taken 3 hit theaters this weekend. Had something to do with somebody going missing, him having a special set of skills. Set of
skills, right.
And now he'll have to kill you or whatever. It's a tanking in the reviews, though. Nobody likes
sure.
it.
Sure.
The first two people liked them.
Most egregious flaw is the use of the number three instead of the E in Taken.
I agree.
I think
with
we're
you.
Done with that.
I think we should be done with that. Here it says right here. Hold on. 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa! Holy cow!
But
it's taken a bath. Yeah. Is what it's doing.
But it creamed the competition. Just creamed them. It says as with the let's see, Taken 3 is such a blatant sight. Paycheck gig. I spelled paycheck funny. For Liam Neeson, you almost expect him to stop mid-movie to deposit his loot into an ATM. All right. Well, there you go. It's doing well, and it killed everybody else. Battle of the Five Armies still doing fine. A big jump into the woods. What is it? Into the Woods. Still doing okay. Mm-hmm. And that's your.
Still want to see that, but that's probably a rental.
I agree. Hey, Casper.com, everybody. Casper.com. My favorite mattress in the entire world. Why do I say that? Because, my gosh, I have one. And it is responsible for all the good bed rest I'm getting while my back went out. Thank goodness I have a decent bed. Because I can't even imagine how poorly this would suck if I didn't have a good mattress to lay on after I yanked my neck that night. I love it. They're amazing. Casper's great. They have these obsessively engineered mattresses at a very low price. You're used to going to these places and paying way too much for these freaking things. It's comfortable, has just the right sink, just the right bounce, long-lasting comfort and support. And you can get them online completely risk-free. Check this out. 100-day free delivery and return just to test the thing. No strings attached. You don't have to do anything special. You try it out, you have 100 days to decide if you like it. If you do like it, well, then, boom, you're in. They're all made in the USA, which is kind of a nice thing these days. Get a mattress for $500 for a twin, $950 for a king-size mattress. Compare that to industry averages. That's an incredible price. Go to casper.com/morningstream and enter the code morningstream. And let's save you a little money. How about an additional $50? That's right, $50 off with that code at casper.com/morningstream. Brian, let's take a break. When we come back, okay. We've got Steven Schleicher. We've got Veronica, who I just heard from, and some emails, but let's cool. do music now.
I always feel like in those Casper ads, we should probably get you to say dog kennels instead of mattresses, just in case.
I should, just to be safe, but
yes,
man, what an awesome bed.
In ancient times. There's a very specific reference that like three people in the audience got for that one.
Well, if you did, email us and you'll win a prize. Not at all. Your prizes, we'll read your email. Okay, go ahead.
Mark Owens emailed in, said, "Dear Sodium and Bicarb, I'm rolling two events into one request. January 11th marks my 45th birthday. I asked for a cordless drill and got gray hair instead. Yes, I'm disappointed. January 13th is the first anniversary of working the streets again in an ambulance, this time as an RN/medic. The Frog Pants family has gotten me through some grim shifts, which I and the wife and kids appreciate a lot. I'd love to hear a cover by Living Color, the first band still together and touring when I discovered them. A great alternate would be a cover of a Living Color song, as I've never run across one. Learn the pump and blow show, yo, says Mark. That, by the way, is our euphemism for CPR. Seriously, though, take a class. Save a life. Mm.
So he means the Cult of Personality band. And by that, I mean literally that was their one giant hit.
That was their biggest hit. What was it, Letter from a Landlord or something like that? Yep. Glamour Boys.
Yep. Oh yeah, Glamour Boys.
Yeah.
I remember really liking them. I remember being a young white person going, "Hey, that's cool." Kind of
they are
kind
so
of
a, edgy and urban.
Yeah, that's I'm awesome. A fan. I like it. Anyway.
All right, so on their album Vivid, on the re-release of their album Vivid, the reissue with some bonus tracks, they included this cover of The Clash's Should I Stay or Should I Go? Go pick it up today. Here is Living Color.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you're mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. When I'm on my knees, one day it's fine and next it's black. So if you want me on your back, so come on and let me know. Should I quit or should I blow? Should I stay or should I turn now? Should I stay or should I turn now? If I put it really tall, if I quit it, baby, double. So come on and let me know. This indecision's bugging me. If you don't want to set me free, exactly whom I'm supposed to be, I don't know which clothes even fit me.
Is the sweetheart you married the husband you expected him to be? Has the war created new problems for you in your marriage? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends and neighbors, Arid presents John J. Anthony, founder of the famed Marital Relations Institute, in a brand new program of daily sessions of kindly and helpful advice. Just as Mr. Anthony, by examples in this studio, is helping thousands of men and women solve their personal problems, Arid, too, is helping thousands to solve the important personal problem of underarm perspiration. Arid helps you avoid perspiration damage to clothes and safeguards friendships. Use Arid every day. It helps stop perspiration safely, and at the same time, Arid is a most effective deodorant.
Stop it.
The Morning Stream. Why, oh, why did I take the blue pill?
Okay, here we go. Here we go. We're go. Ooh, what happened there? All right, we're good. That was a cool song.
When Gene Triplehorn tells you to stop it, you stop it.
Gene Quadruplehorn, as we should have now known. Yeah, you don't want to mess with her. Whoops. Here we go. Steven Schleicher. Oh, come on. Steven, there he is.
Do you have to summon him like Beetlejuice?
Oh, I can barely look over there.
Yeah, I gotta say it three times, and bees come out of his mouth, which is not what people expect. It's never all bad with Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm here.
Yeah?
It's Monday.
I can feel
my wife just got over the flu. And the other one stopped throwing up last night. So,
oh, one of those
good
flus.
Times.
It's a banner morning is what it
is.
Oh,
yeah. It's one of those days where it's like, I'm glad everyone's out of the house.
Yeah, dude. No doubt. That sucks. I don't like the flu at all. I don't like stomach viruses at all. I don't like any of that business. And it's at a high point right now. And
oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be like one of the worst years ever for it.
On both sides. They said the flu vaccine was not as strong as they thought it was going to be.
Or it didn't cover the right mutation or something. Or...
yeah.
It's still good to get because if you get the other one, then that's still good to guard against. But the real virulent one that's like bringing people to their knees and killing people over 65 and under 5, That's the one you want to avoid.
Avoid that.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad that you, sir, are doing okay and that you're in one piece.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, today anyway. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Stephen comes on Stephen comes on the show from majorspoilers.com and talks about all the cool upcoming things in the world of comics, pop culture, movies, and more. And it's always interesting at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year. You always hear some crazy statistics or fun statistics. In the world of comics, it's always like, oh, what movies made the most money? And that seems to dominate the headlines. But we always kind of forget that also there were comic books sold. And Marvel seems to be doing well, yeah?
Yeah, it always seems to be Marvel in the top spot month after month in the information released by Diamond Comic Distributors. Now, these are comics released in the direct market, so sold directly to the comic shops, not taking into account any buybacks or any comics that are not sold from the comic shop to the individual reader. But Marvel always dominates this, and they dominated it so much this year that every comic in the top 10 for 2014 was a Marvel comic.
Wow. Amazing
Spider-Man number one was the number one, and then it just kind of goes down from... Oh, I'm sorry. Number two was Walking Dead. I kind of forgotten about Walking Dead because,
Well, they're still... In your estimation, they're still working on the same storyline, just repeating it over and over.
Yeah. And it's really funny. There's a audio drama zombie story from several years ago that I'm listening to right now. It's like, holy crap, this sounds exactly like a lot of the same things happening in The Walking Dead. So, yeah. But everything else, Marvel Comics, Rocket Raccoon number one, Death of Wolverine number one, Death of Wolverine number four. That was a weekly series for a while. Thor number one, Original Sin number one, Death of Wolverine number two, Death of Wolverine number three, and Superior Spider-Man number 31. So it was a good year for Wolverine, even though he's dead.
Bad year for Wolverine.
bad year for Wolverine, even though he's dead. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, good year for Spider-Man.
Good year for Spider-Man, definitely.
Unless you count the movie, which wasn't that great. But I'm noticing a little trend here. These are all characters who were seen in, with the exception of Thor and Walking Dead, obviously. Walking Dead had TV, but with the exception of Thor, and I guess Original Sin, these are all characters that had major movie properties this year.
Right, exactly. And certainly with the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, no one expected Rocket Raccoon to be as high seller as was. I think we talked about it before, something like 300,000 copies were sold of Rocket Raccoon on that first issue in the first printing.
Yeah, my money is that it wouldn't have done jack if it wasn't for that movie.
No, probably not.
Nobody cared about Rocket Raccoon until they realized that he can be done cool, and now suddenly everybody cares. I'm not cynical about that. I just think that's, it's interesting. And so if you look at the top 10, or you look at the top publisher 10, Marvel on top at 34.38% and DC right below them at 28.86%. To me, this is a call to them to then look at the comics that took the top 10 spot. It's a call to DC to go, all right, get over yourselves and figure out your movie plans, because clearly sales are directly impacted by your success in the box office.
Yeah. And certainly this week comes Marvel Comics now has the Star Wars property back, and the first issue of Star Wars comes out this week from Marvel Comics. Early estimates are that there's 1 million comic books that have been sold in the direct market to the retailers.
Oh, wow.
So that could be, if that is the case, that would be the number one comic for 2015.
Yeah, that's a big...
There haven't been a comic that sold in that high in 30 years at least.
I was going to say, not since maybe the Amazing Spider-Man days before McFarlane took off. Like, that would have been maybe then?
That would, well, but you got to remember in the 90s, they were really suffering. Marvel Comics was. Yeah. So they weren't selling as much. You know, the last time comics sold in the millions regularly were back in the 50s and 60s when Scrooge McDuck comics were selling 1 million copies an issue.
That still blows my mind.
Yeah, it's dropped significantly since then. But it's good to see that there is a rebound going on with comic sales in general. I mean, even though Image Comics has only got less than 10% of the dollar share, they came in at number three. There's still a lot of comics being sold through Image and IDW and Dark Horse and so on.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Also, it looks like CW, the channel responsible for most of the things my wife likes, is renewing The Flash, Arrow, and a bunch of other shows, mid-season show launches and stuff. So that's exciting. How do we feel about it? I mean, I feel like the writing was on the wall. The Flash already had a strong start. Arrow has been doing continually well. I mean, it seemed like a no-brainer for that channel to
Definitely. We've got Supernatural is getting season 11. Some people have mixed feelings about that. Jane the Virgin gets a season 2, the original season 3. Vampire Diaries, man, 7 seasons of that already.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Well, I know, Jane it's crazy, right?
Just, just won on the, I think the actress won on the Golden Globes last night. Mm-hmm. I know there was a...
For which show? Oh, for Jane the, Virgin. Yeah. I was going to say, if it was for that Vampire Diaries, we're going to have words, and I may have to quit this world.
The Flash won, like, People's Choice Award 2 weeks ago.
Mm. Oh,
and cool. So it's really very, very popular right now. In fact, the CW had a big press event yesterday with the television, Media Association or whatever it was. And they had a bunch of Flash news that came out from that. We've got that over there at Major Spoilers right now, including some costumes for some upcoming characters and the reveal of who is the Reverse Flash. Most people kind of know it, but they kind of confirm some things.
Well, but people new to the characters and the stuff, they probably have no idea. They're probably just excited to find out what the hell's going on.
Get more Flash, yeah.
I
hear there's word of an Atom. Potentially an
Atom
show. Yeah,
they've been talking about the Atom spinoff. That comes out of Arrow. I don't know if they would still use Brandon Routh as that. Some people would rather see somebody else, but I mean, that could certainly be a spinoff. Supergirl is one that will definitely be set in the Arrow Flash universe.
Oh, cool.
They said that we should expect to hear some casting news from that very soon. And there is a Vixen series coming.
Whoa.
Vixen is the DC Comics character who gets her powers from Animal Totem. And so she has the power to take animal properties. It's not going to be a TV series. It's going to be an animated web series that's going to launch on the CW Seed, but it will also be set in the Arrow Flash universe and is expected to have those characters make appearances in there. In fact, it was announced that Arrow and Flash will have a crossover every season.
Well, it occurs to me. What do you make of the rumor? I know largely unsubstantial. Unsubstantiated rumor so far that Batman may actually make an appearance in Arrow. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it. I know that it's something they've been talking about for years. I don't think that it's going to be Ben Affleck Batman if it happens.
No.
Simply because we know that they've already cast Flash for the movie universe and it's not Grant Gustin.
Probably going to be like, here's my prediction. If he shows up at all, it'll be Gotham Central style where he'll be like a shadow up on the roof somewhere and then takes off and his cape flaps. And then we're like, oh, there's your Batman sighting.
Yep.
Be something like
that. Or they're going to have Dick Sargent show up.
Oh, that'd be great. Bring him back from the dead. I think both the Dicks are dead, right? Two Dicks are dead. Yeah.
They are.
Actually, that whole cast is dead except the girl, the little witch girl. She's alive and doing fine.
Oh, the daughter?
Yeah. Tabitha. There you go. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, all of them, 6 feet under, as far as I know.
Wow.
It's depressing. Let's move on. Netflix announced. Netflix announced. Yeah, the curse of everyone getting old and dying naturally. Netflix announces the Daredevil release dates. This we talked about this briefly on the show, but that's pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, it is. I can't wait. April 10th at 2:01 a.m. They're unleashing all 13 episodes to the world. I knew there was talk at some point that Netflix was saying, well, maybe we'll start spacing some of these out a little bit more, but nope, it looks like they're committed, at least for Daredevil, to release everything all in one giant chunk.
Mm.
Now, for those people who are excited about AKA Jessica Jones, some sad news.
Oh, no.
We probably won't see that show land on Netflix in 2015. The head of Netflix was doing an interview and said, well, our release schedule is roughly 10 to 12 months apart for these series, so look for Jessica Jones to probably premiere in 2016.
Is this the, what's her name, Ritter?
This is the Kristen Ritter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jesse Pinkman's girlfriend from season 3 of Breaking Bad. Two, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully the Trek nerd has already gotten past that part.
Yeah, he'd probably, by now he has. Yep. Finally, the Gem Awards. Finally, you know, if there's one thing I love about Jem is that she's truly outrageous.
Yes, she is, and there is a live-action movie of that coming up next year.
Stop it.
This year. This year or next year?
Are you lying to me?
No, I'm totally serious. Jem and the Holograms.
That's terrible, Steven. Really? Oh, shite.
Let me look it up and find the exact release date, but go ahead. Jem, the Jem Awards are released by Diamond Comics, who we talked about earlier in the show, and these are the awards that the company gives to the publishers going forward. And there were some nice awards. I mean, Image Comics won for Best Publisher of the Year for publishers who achieve 4% or greater in sales. Boom Studios was for the under 4%. DC got the Blacklist Publisher of the Year. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But of course, Marvel won for Top Dollar Comic Book Publisher of the Year. And for those people who are into toys, Toy Manufacturer of the Year, Funko.
And
Funko is the company that puts out those pop vinyl.
Yeah, they
put out those pop vinyl figures that my youngest just loves so much. He can't get enough of them. and he's probably got about 30 of them.
You know how they're doing that, you know? They're doing that because right they're making them like $8 to $10, depending on where you go. That always seems cheap to me, and it always is an easy impulse. Like, I'll go to a Barnes & Noble and go, oh, they've got the freaking... And it's always these weird things. Oh, they got Purple Rain prints? I'll buy that for $8 right now. Right.
And what's genius. Really crazy is my youngest is 3 years old, and he's going down that aisle at our Hastings, and he's like, oh, there's Darkseid, and there's PewDiePie, the little My Little Pony, Pinkie Pie.
Yeah.
And he just starts naming them all off, and I was like, you're three. How do you know all of this stuff?
Yeah.
And he just knows them, and yeah, it is an impulse buy.
So we found just kind of randomly on a bottom shelf somewhere, kind of tucked away. I think some kid was hiding it so he could come back and get it, but it was the Bay, or what's his name in Big Hero 6?
Baymax. That one is pretty popular.
It's a big, giant version of Baymax. Mm-hmm. It's a way bigger box and stuff, right. And this is the battle armor one, and then the other one, which is him not in the armor, is impossible to find that thing.
Yeah.
So we're on the hunt for it, but yeah, it's impossible not to be impulse buy with those things. It's really a brilliant scheme. Like, they just have nailed that whole market. And to have all of those licensed characters, I mean, it's pretty insane.
Yep. So it looks like October 23rd of 2015 will be when a totally outrageous movie arrives in theaters. Gosh. Jim and the Holograms, starring Ryan Guzman, Juliette Lewis, Holly Ringwald.
For those not familiar, here's the intro for you, all right? So here you go. Jim is excitement. Jim is adventure. Glamour and glitter. Fashion and fame. And then truly, truly, truly outrageous. There's three outrageouses for Jim.
We will get to see Aubrey Peoples play her in October.
Really, really outrageous.
Really, really, really.
I thought you knew about that already.
I did not
know. I thought you had signed up to the Jim.
You know what? I was probably already upset, and I just forgot that it was happening, and now here we are again. This is all very good. Steven purveys a site called majorspoilers.com that is constantly pushing out great content like this. People should go there and check it out at majorspoilers.com. Is there anything else going on you'd like people to know about?
Yeah, I would like people to check out our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. We've got a lot of stuff up there, including just put up this morning, I opened a brand new set of minifigures, Series 13, and you can check them out over there at Major Spoilers Video on YouTube.
Uh-oh, Brian. Another thing for you to want to go get.
Right.
Oh, there's some good figs. There are good ones in this Series 13, including a guy dressed up as a giant hot dog.
Oh, good Lord. What hath we wrought?
How can I say no to that?
Yeah. Steven, have a great week. Let's do this again too, next guys. Time, all right?
All right, talk to you soon.
No barfing kids. That's the answer. No barfing kids.
That's right.
Okay. Time for Veronica Belmont. And we're gonna have a little chat. Sounds like she's in trouble.
Right, it does.
She's not.
It's, you get Wilfred Brimley to get her to hop in the back of the limo with Tobin Bell for a little bit.
Yeah, just for a bit, just to explain, you know, the whatnot.
I know the FBI's approached you. Maybe it's time you and I had a little talk.
Oh, look at this, everyone. It's Veronica Belmont, V for Video Games. Veronica, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. Last we spoke, you were on your way to CES, and now you're back, and I briefly would like to know I know you were very busy and worked the entire time, but your impression of CES this year overall, what'd you think?
Oh, it was all about the drones and the wearables and the TVs, a lot of the usual stuff. I mean, it's been a while since I've been really like, oh my goodness gracious, about CES, you know, but the life of a jaded tech reporter.
I know people would kill to go to CES
and see all the cool stuff.
Next year, wearable drones.
That's right.
Oh no, that's actually a real thing. There's a product called Nixie, and it's flynixie.com, and it's actually a wearable drone selfie camera.
What? Oh, good, because those three things needed to be merged.
All right.
Yes, they won Intel's wearable competition back in the fall, and they're fantastic. It's a really cool product, and hopefully that'll, you know, it's better than a selfie stick. If you can have a flying drone follow you around and take pictures of you.
There it is right there, Nixie.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, is this thing, this is the one that does, it senses where you're at and follows you, right?
Yeah, it can either fly off. You can either flick your wrist. It attaches to your wrist like a bracelet.
Look at that.
And you can either flick it off and then it comes back to you and it takes a shot and comes back, or you can put it into follow mode. And then if you're like on a dirt bike or you're doing mountain climbing or something cool and extreme, it'll follow you and take pictures as you go or video.
Okay, I'm totally into this now.
Now I kind of want one.
I kind of want one, yeah.
It's a little ways out. It's still in prototype, but it's really cool.
I'm totally into this. Okay, I didn't expect to be excited about that, but I kind of am now. All right. Well, we bring you on Mondays. We talk about video games, a shared interest of all of ours, and it's a weirdly non-news week generally.
Right?
But through all this busyness and having to spend time in Vegas and do that whole thing, did you get any game time? And if you did, what are you up to? What are you playing?
Yeah, man, I've been playing. I think I mentioned this last week, but I finally finished Dragon Age Inquisition.
So that game is finishable. You can get to the end at some.
Well,
point.
I mean, you can keep going afterwards, yeah. But I feel like I'm in a good place with it. I feel like I
get closure.
Yeah, I have closure. So that being done, you know, waiting for DLC on that, maybe gonna jump into some multiplayer at some point. Yeah. But right now I'm in Civilization Beyond Earth. And I don't know if we talked about that either, but
we haven't very much. I have it as well. And are you so okay. The it was generally well received, but the criticisms that game has are mostly kind of a weird criticism to have, because they're basically saying, hey, that game that is already awesome in Civ 5, that's basically this, but the stuff's just named after space things, and it's not, you know, truly like we're in a new planet and therefore doing something totally different. You really are kind of doing the exact same things. You're just doing it in the future. You're doing it with future tech, but you're really playing Civ 5.
It kind of feels like a skin for Civ 5.
Yeah. That was a much shorter way of saying what I just said, actually. That was a really good way to describe it. Like almost like someone modded it.
Yeah.
Real pretty mod, really well done and polished. Like, we would all be blown away by this skin if it was a skin.
There's some interesting stuff with the tech tree and with some of the, I forget what they call them, virtues.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting stuff there, but overall it really does feel very much like Civ 5, which is fine. You know, I'm happy to have another Civ 5. That's great.
Sure.
But it is pretty addictive. I'm a slow player, man. I could never do competitive Civilization or multiplayer Civilization.
Yeah.
I'm just too slow, but I really like to make my kingdom as big as possible. Yeah. And then I start picking off other people's cities. Mm. So I'm in that mode right now. So I'm on turn like 450.
Oh, good Lord.
Which is a lot, right? Is that a lot for a game?
I think that's a lot of turns, yeah. In a Civ game. Yeah.
Well, I take my dear sweet time.
It's all right.
She's very, you know, she's planning out her strategy. She's mapping her path to victory. I think that's a perfectly cromulent amount of time.
She wants to dominate that weird purple planet. And that's her prerogative. The only thing I think the one thing I don't like about it, if I was to say one thing that Civ has and it doesn't, and there's no way to do this because it's all speculative future with fake people. But I kind of miss that, you know, Gandhi is my leader.
Advisor,
or
yeah, leader. Yeah,
like the famous, the kind of, not famous, but the kind of historical, even though that stuff's silly and ridiculous that they're even in there. But this idea that you can pick somebody like that and go, I'm going to take the Genghis Khan. And I'm going to take him all the way to, you know, the future where we're launching nukes.
That's pretty fun, isn't it?
It's a really fun idea. And this doesn't have that. I mean, it has that, but there are these nameless people that are like, on Earth, I was a professor of whatever, and now I'm your leader and follow me. And it's just not the same.
Yeah, I like the opening graphic. I mean, the opening like video sequence. Mm-hmm. I actually got a little verklempt.
Yeah, me too. I
got
that's
touched.
I feel better about admitting that now that you've said that, because I was worried that that was silly to do in an intro to a game in 2015, but...
Watch it. Did you find out the loading sequences are really long?
Yeah, very.
At the beginning of the game, like click to continue, then click again, then click some more.
Seems weird, and again, in a late 2014, early 2015 world that we're still dealing with that. But yeah, that intro is special in a way because it decided to go very. It went real dark and not exactly what you'd think. Like I would have expected. We have, as a society, come together Star Trek style and. We don't even have currency anymore. We're just going to expand and explore. And no, it's a gnarly piece of bad.
It's like, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. We're getting off this hunk of rock.
Yeah.
Who's coming? Yeah. All right. Actually, only some of you can come.
Yeah. And then you get that whole discrimination factor. And you got, you know, this nebulous sense of, whoa, who's in charge here? It looks like India finally won the poker game. And we're all, subservient to India now. And that's based on futurist predictions about how that place is exploding and growing economically. And whenever games start getting into that territory, that makes me nervous.
Really? Know? That's not how I saw it. I saw it as every different nation is like sending who they can. Because that's kind of like the point. You get there and then you've got all these different world powers that you can choose to play as.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're just seeing one perspective, but all of Earth's superpowers are sending.
Oh, that may be. Yeah, good point. That's a good point. Because you were taking off somewhere, India or somewhere. But I just noticed all these Sikhs and stuff were like soldiers. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I guess they, because, you know, you watch Firefly and you're like, I guess China's going to just rule us all now. That'll be how
the
future goes.
That is true. That is true. That is actually what will happen.
That's happening now. We just don't know it. No, that's a cool game, and I'm glad you're digging into it. When you do decide to pick up the multiplayer in the other one, in that other one,
Dragon Age Inquisition,
let me know, and maybe we'll stream that, because I haven't touched that part of it yet.
Me neither. Oh, that'd be really fun, because I'm still level one. I just made my character. I haven't even gone into the game, so we should do that this
week. We should totally do that. We'll find out a time and do it, because I have zero experience with it, and it would be. I'm sure at this point they've patched in whatever fixes it may have needed, or may have, I don't know if it did need them or not, but it should be a pretty stable experience, and we should try it out, see what's up in there.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, cool. It's Veronica Belmont, everybody. Veronica on Twitter, but you already know that.
Cosmopolitan's own Veronica Belmont.
That's right. In the Cosmo. Can you explain something real quick?
Yeah.
That meme with the M&M store. What is that?
What are you talking
Where
about?
Where everyone's feet are shown in that couch and that table, including yours and like Felicia and like Notch was there and like all these people taking pictures of this angle that showed like part of the M&M store and part of that other thing it connects to with
are
their
you
feet
talking,
up.
Well, there was a... Well, I wasn't there, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought
about.
You did that.
No, what are you talking about? No, okay, there was a big party at Notch's house, and everyone cool in LA was invited, and of course I wasn't because I live in San Francisco and I suck.
Right.
So all right. My friends kept sending me photos of being at Notch's cool, most expensive mansion in Los Angeles thing, yeah. But I did not attend that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping you'd gone because you could tell us if it's truly made out of blocks. And
well, he has a candy room.
Oh, and connected with Redstone. Room. Really? A room full? Oh, maybe that was what I was seeing then.
Yeah, so everyone was taking pictures in the candy room.
I thought that was the Vegas M&M store.
No, that is his house.
What the hell?
He lives there.
That's crazy. All right, now it all makes sense to me why that was a big deal.
Yeah, it looked pretty awesome. I'm super jelly.
Yeah, well, good for him and all his money. And may we ever play Minecraft until our deaths. Is there anything else happening that you would like people to know about before we cut you down?
No, but I will remind people that you and I are the next level in Tom's quest for dominance on Patreon. So if you want to see us on DTNS, head over to patreon.com/acedetect and get us to that next level. And Scott and I will be on DTNS weekly.
Yeah, every week you can have a dose of us in the tech news that we know so well. Veronica Belmont, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
All righty.
Good stuff.
I swore that was in Vegas because all those people were in Vegas that week. So I thought, oh,
this was the M&M store. Sure, it had to be, right?
But no, it was in some candy room at Notch's house.
Candy room.
That guy, dude.
How do you mine candy?
What did he pay for that mansion? $75 million, was it?
Oh, who knows?
I think that was right.
I don't know.
Notch Mansion. We're going to find out.
Okay.
Minecraft creator, not because we talked about it on the show briefly, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, he outbid Beyonce and Jay-Z on the Beverly Hills Mansion.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that here.
$70 million. Oh, there it is. There's the candy room and his feet up. Okay, well, that now it all makes sense to me. Oh my gosh, that thing, dude, overlooking the ocean.
All right, I'm looking this up
here.
Now.
I'll give you the link.
What? No way, really? That is the room?
Yeah. Look at that. Click that, and then have your mind utterly destroyed. Look at that bar.
Jeez.
I.
Oh, life is so hard.
Yeah, it's real hard. Man, just come up with the next Minecraft and you're in, dude.
Jeez. That's funny because that that shot with the grid with the like the couch and the grass and everything.
Yeah.
Looks like something out of Minecraft.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Look at this wine. Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at his bar. Look at that bar. With
that is... Oh, look at that bar.
He's got James Bond up on the wall.
Yes.
She cannot stare at.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. And this doesn't even do it justice. Other photos I've seen are disgusting. Here's what I would do if I were Notch. I would sell that company. I would earn $2.5 million. I would move to this giant house. And then I would never leave it again. It would have everything I would ever want in it.
Sure.
Movie theaters. I'm sure there's all this stuff downstairs, upstairs, whatever. Look at that. Oh, I want to go to that party. I wasn't invited. You think San Francisco's dumb, Veronica? Try Salt Lake City. He's not inviting anybody from here. That's actually not true. There were some SLC gamer people there. Anyway, here's the point, Brian. It's time for emails. Emails are brought to us by nobody. I'm just going to read them. Here you go.
Okay.
James wrote in, I'm listening to Wednesday's podcast. You mentioned an article that had the qualifier, quote, non-Hispanic white men, and you were questioning the validity of such a statement. As someone born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, to an all-Hispanic family, I can tell you that there are many light-skinned Hispanics who could easily pass for Caucasian if you didn't know their ancestry. In fact, many people of Spanish or Mexican descent here have light skin and blonde hair and blue eyes. Much love. Right, I get it, but I still don't understand the non-white.
The Hispanic men were white. They're not supposed to be white.
They're supposed to be white. I still don't know. I don't know. Something about the term bugs me, but I see what he means. I get it. Do you ever see those pictures of that African or South American tribe they found that are like all albino, just like white as...
Oh, no, huh?
That's so weird.
Wow.
I can find that. All white tribe. Let's see if I can find this here.
Okay.
All white tribe. The white tribes. Nope, can't find it.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right.
Brian.
I just did a search for albino African tribe. I didn't see it either.
Okay. I must be, I might be saying it wrong. Someone out, chat room, you guys know what's up. To all the sushi trolls, says Brian. Not you, different Brian.
Okay.
To all the sushi trolls, I just want to point out that most fish is flash frozen at sea, especially sushi grade fish. These boats go out for weeks at a time. Even on the coast, fish are not fresh out of the water. Also, there's a law that says you have to freeze before you can serve. There's no difference between a fish being frozen on a boat for a week before you eat it or being on a boat for a week and then flown inland. Sorry if you'd mentioned this on the podcast. I had to pause and write this email. I can't stand people that try to discount seafood from landlocked places. I work in the industry. It seems like people that try to make these claims are just elitists that don't know how food works. Eat the roe, yo. Though? Eat the roe. I think he meant eat the roll.
No, he meant eat the roe. That's the little orange fish eggs that they put on top of some sushi.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Salmon roe.
All right. They ground...
That's good stuff.
They ground a certain ensign up on Star Trek and put her in the meatloaf. You'd be eating the roe.
Well, you know, she was invisible to most of the crew except for Geordi.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I think they had sex, but no one said anything about it. there's another reason. Also, people were pointing out that it's not legal to serve fish straight from a boat straight to the restaurant. You have to freeze it. It has to be inspected. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that has to happen. So... The fact that it has to go inland a bit, is shipped by plane or transport, and it's still frozen, has zero impact on whether that was good sushi or not. So thank you, everyone, who's come to my damn defense. Mawiki wrote in, final email, says, hola, sack and balls. Your balls, I am the sack you stay in.
You keep me in line.
That's right. This is about boys' bikes versus girl bikes. We brought that up, and I always assume it's because boys would hit their crotch on the... why was it flipped? It should be the other way, because boys would rack their goobers on the straight bar. Why not give them the dip?
Mm-hmm.
Or have the dip or whatever? Anyway, right. Crossbars are horizontal on men's bikes and angled down on women's bikes, as you express concerns about guys racking their tenders on the crossbar due to their closer proximity. From what I understand, it's probably mostly legacy from a time when all women wore dresses. Having the angled crossbars allows women to get on and get off their bikes without raising their legs up that high. Even sitting on the bike, women would not have to have their dresses hiked up to their thighs near the crotchatorial region. Brian's phone.
Sorry.
Also, as a mechanical engineer, I can tell you that the horizontal crossbars provides much more strength to the structure of the bike as compared to the angled orientation. Since in general men are more physically strong and impose more load on the frame of the bike, the crossbar was always horizontal for men. This would be especially true back when bikes were made of such weaker materials, such as wood. Wood bikes.
Oh, God.
As bikes are made of very strong materials now, I'm guessing the orientation of the crossbars is just left to provide a visual quick check on which gender average it was sized for. Nevertheless, protect the boys, bros. Mawiki. I really like that email because it made sense, and it has science, and it has history. And I like all of those things.
Dresses. Riding a bike in a dress.
Yeah,
can't
right?
imagine.
Those are the days. I mean, I've seen a lot of pictures of that, but it never occurred to me that that's why that thing was curved. That's it for the show. Thank you for sending your emails in. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is the email address to use. If you'd like to support this show, go to patreon.com/TMS. Become one of those who sees great value in the many hours of content we provide per month. And get it on the cheap at patreon.com/TMS. You can find us by calling us. Leave us a message at 801-471-0462, or you can follow us on Twitter, at Scott Johnson for me, at Coverville for Brian, and Morning Stream for the show. That's Morning Stream without the. That's going to do it. I think that's it. You got anything else? Am I missing anything?
I got nothing else. Okay. Nothing. Right. Nothing is what I have left. I have one thing left, but it's a song.
Oh, then play that.
Okay. All right. This one's going out to Marco Casabin.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I was playing the Marco Polo.
Okay. It got cut off.
Oh, I'm in Notch's pool playing Marco Polo.
Dang, half duplex. Oh. Guten Tag, Scottisburg and Brinesboro.
Yeah.
Or Coverville. First off, your show rocks and you have definitely helped me in some boring hours at work. Could you guys be so kind to play a cover of Come Sail Away by Styx? I chose the song because January is the month that's still very hard for me. My grandpa, who's the person I looked up to the most as a kid, passed away about 2 years ago, and I miss him dearly. This song reminds me of him and the time we had together in Hamburg, a harbor town in Germany. Thank you guys so much. All the best. Best wishes, Marco.
Is it home of the hamburger? Wasn't it invented there?
I think that's the general philosophy, right? Is that the Frankfurter came from Frankfurt and the hamburger came from Hamburg?
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Hamburger. Yeah. So, here a version of Come Sail Away. Now, Cartman, of course, did a great version on South Park. I'm not going to play that one. I'm going to play a version by me first in the Gimme Gimmies. We've played them a lot on this show, and they're great. They're a perfect fit for TMS. From the 2004 album Ruin Johnny's Bar Mitzvah, which actually sounds like it was recorded at a real bar mitzvah. Wow. Here is me first in the Gimme Gimmies and their cover of Styx's Come Sail Away.
I forgot how funny that sounded.
What was that?
That's nose blow from a film sack episode. I don't remember what though.